Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're delighted that you're hanging out with us tonight.
Yeah, we are. Thanks for hanging out. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/themusicrowshow. Chat alongside with us.
Yes, and you can also find us on Twitter, @themusicrowshow, and then after the show, Instagram, @themusicrowshow as well.
Right.
We kind of made it easy. It's always @themusicrowshow.
That's right. And speaking of Facebook, Jill Block, who was our guest last week,
yes,
the wife of our good friend, the dear Billy Block. She had so much fun talking about the first annual Billy Block Day reunion concert and Nashville Spirit Awards that she has offered up some cool prizes tonight.
That's true. One of our lucky listeners is going to get to go to the show. It's going to be tomorrow night. And anybody who participates on Facebook tonight, we're going to pick somebody and they're going to get to go to the show.
That's right. So just comment on our Facebook page for the next hour. And we've had some nice comments in the last hour. And Hino and I are just going to randomly pick somebody. And by the way, if you'd like to go to the show and you don't win, go to thirdandlinsley.com and all that information is there. So there you go.
There you go. Now, we've got a great hour coming up here.
Yes, we do. We have Mark Colley. He's coming back. He was here back in, I think, June or July of last year, and we still had so many questions for him. And it just so happened that he has a bunch of things going on right now. He has his new MCA just re-released a bunch of his songs, and the CD's called Icon. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. Of course, you can see him every week on Nashville.
That's right. That's right.
I was at the edge of my seat.
I know. Don't drink.
No.
Don't do it.
Yeah, not that. There's something better. Go to the top shelf.
You know, when my character came on the show, but first let me just say it's great to be back on the Music Row Show with
Thank you,
guys,
man.
Thanks for having me. And
let us just say this real quick. That's Mark Colley, by the way.
Mark Colley.
And we're glad he's here on the Music Row Show.
Or Frankie Gray.
Frankie Gray.
Yeah, Deacon's bar owner, partner. Yeah, there you go.
But, it's been a great little trip. But a lot of people have been concerned about Frankie. You know, he fell off the wagon
last
year.
Poor guy.
He's doing better, I think.
Okay, good to know.
I have so many tales I could tell you about just the response to this character. It's been really good, you know, and it's a...
Are people stopping you in the street and trying to help you not drink?
Yeah, I was talking on the Opry last night. Tammy and I were coming through a little store, and a little lady was pushing her cart, and we were shopping. And I heard her ask Tammy, she said, "Is that Frankie?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Yes, it is." And she came and she said, "You know, I really started out liking you." She said, "But you've got to quit being so hateful to Deacon."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know I was being hateful to Deacon." But then it sort of snowballed. Where were we the other day? Somewhere we were at. Getting in the car. And Anna was the woman. She said, "You were in a foul mood last night." then I saw Vince for breakfast at Nashville. I was going there. And I heard somebody go, "Well, I'm glad you finally sobered up, you know." But it's been a great time, and I've enjoyed getting a chance to play the character of Frankie, because he represents a lot of people and a lot of people in this business in country music, and I certainly understand what it's like to deal with addiction, overcome that. So I hope my character is representative of that, and we'll find some understanding through it. And I'll try to be a little nicer to Deacon, you know.
Okay. I wouldn't. Well, he has enough people nice to him. Yeah. Go ahead and just
got really your word does. On that.
Frankie's about the only guy that ever gets into it with him.
Right.
We're going
this
hope,
week.
I you know what happens this? I can tell you what happens Wednesday night.
What?
But if I do, I'll get fired.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Probably, we don't want that.
I am curious. How far out are all of these? Like, it's all been done for this season.
Yeah, we just, well, the season just finished in within the last week. But the shows are shot a few weeks in advance. And typically, they don't tell me till I get to work what I'm fixing to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not supposed to tell anybody.
Of course, yeah.
But I've really enjoyed getting to know the cast and the crew. A lot of crew from Nashville too, you know, from that I've known over the years, and got a lot of talented people, and I've enjoyed doing it, you know, and y'all just tune in. Frankie's give Frankie some time. He's working on it.
All right. Good to know. Well, right. we lost, of course, a major legend in the last week or so, Merle Haggard, and I know you knew him pretty well and worked with him.
I was saddened, you know, about it. I knew he'd been not doing well for a while, but he always seemed to rally and come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think we were planning on going down to Huntsville or somewhere that was on the books to go see him. And I was, you know, shocked about it. I just assumed he'd come on back around, you know.
Well, what did his music mean to you? And do you have any personal memories with him or playing with him?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first time I opened for Merle was, you know, many years ago. But I opened for him in Hagerstown, Maryland, when these first singles were out. Mm-hmm. We were in Hagerstown, Maryland. And I had met Merle a time or two over the years when I was trying to, you know, make my, you know, work into being a songwriter, you know.
Right.
And I'd always try to get out and be around him, but he was always really good to me and a good friend. And he would eventually, you know, he always gave us some work, you know. But he influenced all of us to a point, to a degree. I mean, his songwriting and the way he was able to tell the truth in the most simple ways, you know. And we still are grieving Merle's going on, but he's better off. He's in a better place. One of the great two or three days I spent with him, he was always talking about how he'd come into a greater understanding of the Lord and where he was going when mm-hmm. he got through. But he was in good shape then. But he was telling me all about, you know, he was studying the Word a lot. So that was encouraging when I found out that he was gone, you know.
Yeah.
So I know he went on home to glory. They've got a great guitar player and a huge, one of the best singers ever come along.
Oh, the
in
voice.
The Glory Land band now. You know, so that's good.
Well, I think it's amazing how many people he influenced vocally. I mean, that you hear it in so many different singers, and I can't think of how many recordings I've heard where I've heard that guitar, that bow bow, that guitar lick in different mm-hmm. songs.
Well, you know, James Burton played on a lot of those records, and those early records with Merle and with Buck and those guys, you know. And when I made my first record with Tony Brown, he said, "Who you want to get for guitar?" And I said, "Well, it'd be great if we could get James Burton." So Tony called James Burton, and he played on my first few singles.
Oh, wow.
And you can hear that in it. And I was thinking, as I was looking at this new Best Of release, a couple of songs on there were really heavily influenced by Merle's songwriting. There were styles sort of like my attempt at trying to, you know, bring a little Merle to what I was doing, you know.
Right.
But like Looks Aren't Everything is a ballad on there. And it's very much like a Haggard song.
Right.
I mean, when I wrote it, I was thinking Haggard, you know. And the way I sing something with a ring to it, some of the little dips I try to mm-hmm. do are a lot like Merle, you know.
That's awesome.
And so that was, yeah, he influenced me a lot as a, you know, as an artist, but more, and he told me some very cold, hard truths about the music business. You know, he was a good mentor, and you know, and didn't always like some of the things he had to say. But he was
what kind of hard truths might he have taught you?
these are some. I'm gonna save those for off.
Okay,
the air, you know?
For off the air. Gotcha. Gotcha.
He just
okay.
told me I would never gonna be like everybody else. Quit trying to be myself. You know, and
that's good advice.
So you're not ever just, you know, make my own records, you know, and cut my hair, you know.
Yeah, on the cover of the Greatest Hits album.
Get a haircut.
You do have a bit of that.
Well, you know, a lot of people give Billy Ray credit for the mullet, but actually I had one before that.
That is one killer mullet right there.
My mullet was out before his ever got on CMT.
Yeah. That is the truth.
That is very true. You know, well, how do you go about picking songs for a Greatest Hits album? I mean, obviously... Well, the hits are obvious, but other than that, how do you choose?
These songs here came from the Universal catalog when I first started making those first four or five albums over there. And I sort of let the guys at Universal tell me what they wanted to do, you know.
Okay.
So, they were really great. They said, you know, we should get this stuff out, you know. And some of those records get played, but a lot of people began to reach out to us. Some of these songs were not, they couldn't find them, you know, weren't available. And now they are all four of those MCA records are up, but this Best Of is available too. It's got 11 of the songs on there. You know,
sweet.
Now I'm looking at the back of this, and I'm seeing a very young Mark Colley, and it looks like a very young, exact same guitar that you're playing right there.
Oh, wow!
It was that guitar without all the scars and all the bars and all the, you know. It's just,
that's what makes it. That's what makes it what it is, though. That's,
as you can see, it's been played.
It has been well loved.
It looked pretty new in this picture.
Yeah, it was newer. You know, I hadn't had it very long, but it's been with me through all of these records.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
There's no hole in it in the picture.
Yeah.
There's no hole in it.
No, there's
There's
the sound hole, but these are new. These are new places.
I like
so,
that.
So how do people get this album?
You can get it anywhere online, you know.
But it's out now, right?
But it's in stores too, Walmart and places, you know. And
MarkColley.com.
Yeah, Mark. You can go to you know, just Amazon, iTunes, and look for the Best Of, or you can look for you know, Icon in the Walmart stores.
Right.
It's in those that area.
This has all the, even the Man in the Moon is Crying. Mm-hmm. Looks Aren't Everything, yeah, of course. Something with the
Thank
ring
goodness.
On.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
good stuff. Good stuff.
Thanks.
Well, do we have time? Yeah, let's keep going here. I want to talk songwriting. We didn't get a chance to really dig into songwriting with you last time you were here. Yeah. Are you an avid rewriter? And when do you know a song is finished for you?
Well, you know, the craft of writing, you know, it's having the idea of the concept is the first thing you got to have something to say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I've learned that usually the first way or thing you say is probably what you should sing. But we sometimes figure out there are better ways to say it. And, yeah, you got to craft it. I mean, you got to put it into a package. But oftentimes, over the years, you know, sort of got in the way of what I was trying to say, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, just overwrite, you know. And
try to be too tricky with
words. Yeah,
with
I try to be too
words.
Clever. Try to be too, you know. Like, songs like Looks Aren't Everything, those songs, and Let Her Go, those are songs that I wrote before I really became a good collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have anybody to tell me, you know, to take it a different way. And sometimes I can do that. And I still make myself do that, you know. Collaboration is great. I mean, you know, without it, you know, we wouldn't have as many great songs as we do.
That's true.
And we wouldn't grow as quickly as we should as writers, you know, or have someone at least to reassure us that our perspective matters.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot about writing, you know, what not to write. It's the hardest thing to figure out.
When to leave off.
You know, when to leave it alone. You know?
Yeah.
What about rewriting? Is that something you do a lot of, or do you walk away from it?
What I typically try to do is that I'll sit down. If I don't know where I'm going, I won't even start, you know. Mm-hmm. I try to figure out where is this going to end, you know. And then I'll try to tell the story or tell the, you know, get it through. But then I may get away from it, you know, and not think about it, and then I'll pick it up and sing it again. And if it begins to have, you know, become clear to me that it could be said another way, typically once I figure out what I want to say, I start trying to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I might start leaving some things out.
Okay.
Because, you know, if it's a... So, yeah, editing is really what it is. I mean, I wouldn't consider it really rewriting. It's more of an edit with me.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there'll be that, you know, that moment. Oh, now I know what I was trying to say.
Uh-huh.
But as far as, I mean, it's easier for me now to go back and listen to these hits that happened in the early, early days of my,
right.
when I was making records. But I could used to, I could, every time I listened to it, I was still trying to mix it or fix it or
really
make it better, you know.
I'll be darned.
So, so yeah, editing is, and I think that's what I was fortunate to have good writers around me early on and good publishers who could tell me, you know, well, this is, you know, original and fresh, but it really not very good.
You know? But boy, it's original.
And now I have somebody that does that at home for me.
There you go. Okay.
And I'm married to her.
Yeah.
You can't just. That's really good, honey, but just I don't want to hear that again. You shouldn't sing it.
Don't ever sing that again. Yeah, but I liked it.
Yeah, but, yeah, but I liked it. But just don't play it for anybody.
No, well, but, I want to talk more about co-writing and collaborating, but we do need to take a quick break, so we're gonna do a little cliffhanger here. Section is brought to you by our good friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
Yep, Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we just love that dealership because they really go out of their way to give their customers an excellent experience. They have a 3-day return policy on all their cars and a unlimited time and miles warranty, which is just unheard of, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great place to go either get your car serviced or get a new one.
That's right. Go to toyotaofcoolsprings.com. Go see George, the owner. He's going to take great care of you. Again, that's toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
We're going to be back.
Something tells me that it might be later than I think. Looks as if I'm gonna have to face a cold hard fact. Like the king of rock and roll, she's never coming back.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's some Mark Colley right there, off of his brand new greatest hits package called Icon. And he's joining us here in studio. And that's a cool tune called She's Never Coming Back that you wrote with the great Jerry House.
Yeah, Jerry was a great writer. He and I used to write together a lot.
That's pretty cool.
We had a couple of things that we did that you know, he's a clever character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had a couple of really big hits. I think Little Rock.
Little Rock, yeah.
Reba, yeah. And Never Coming Back was a really good record for me.
Yeah. All the three of us all worked in the same building with him for years, and I don't think I've ever even seen the man.
I mean, did.
He's very elusive.
We said hello once in the men's room.
And then security hauled you out.
Yes, then I was that. Reprimanded.
All right, there you go. So in all the co-writing you've done now over the years, what's been your biggest, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm with this person moment?
Well, you know, Haggard and I started a song on the bus one time, you know, and then we didn't get too far past it. And he said, go ahead, you know, just to, you know, put something down, send it to me. And I thought, well, I'll wait till I see him again. And so then I saw him at an event where he was being honored, you know, and I went by the table just to say congratulations. And he said, oh, you know that one line, you know. So
really?
he sang another line, you know. So I figured, well, I'll just keep waiting till we find the right time and we'll finish it. But that was just to have the back and forth with somebody like Merle, you know. But everybody I've ever written songs with, and even now, I have the utmost respect for anybody that would sit down and write a song with me, you know. And you don't ever know when it's going to be one that matters to anybody other than the two guys or three in the room. And it's just, you know. I got a lot of good songwriting lessons from people, good counsel from Harlan Howard, people like that, you know.
Man.
Mm-hmm. And mostly just, you know, sat around, smoked a few cigarettes, tried to keep up with him at the bar, you know. But he was a genuine, good counsel on that regard. And just some, you know, I learn something every time I write with anybody, you know. The one thing I have learned is that the one thing that a writer must understand is that it's about your perspective. We can all look at this cup and we all see it from a different angle or a different point of view, a different light. And mm-hmm. if we were all asked to paint a picture of that, you know, we'd paint a little different picture.
Mine would look like a stick figure,
well,
but
yeah,
you know,
but, a lot of people like stick figures. You know. Maybe not as many that maybe you should go to just
art,
you know,
school, yeah,
yeah, or just, you know, abstract finger paints or something.
And there you go.
But I'm saying, so that's what is great, to find somebody with a fresh perspective or a new take on an old idea. There's only a handful of ideas,
right?
We keep rewriting, you know.
Yep.
And you can go to anybody, to my catalog for sure, and you'll see some of the same themes and ideas and thoughts.
Sure.
Maybe they're from a little different perspective. As I've lived through some of those emotions, I might have a little different take on it. But
you said last time you were here, you said that one of the things you like about writing songs with someone is it's a real good way to get to know them.
Well, yeah, if you can't be honest, you're gonna write something, you know. I mean, I don't think you have to really be honest to write if you're going to sit down and write Woolly Bully or something, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
But, you know, that's pretty revealing in
that's
itself.
Pretty,
you know?
Yeah, that tells you something.
I think whoever, if you were going to write, you know, that, you'd probably learn something, maybe not something you'd want to repeat, but learn something about somebody. But, yeah, I think you have to trust one another to write good songs, you know? And that's the first thing, so. That's why if you find somebody that you know and respect and like him, but it's easier to write by yourself if you make yourself do it, you know.
That's right. True, yeah.
It's frightening to have to play a song that you wrote by yourself, though, because if you got a lot of co-writers, you can say, well, you know, this.
Oh, that was his line, yeah.
Well, or you could just, you know, you don't have to take all the heat.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But then you have to split the money if it's a hit. You
well,
know?
See, there's that. So there's that.
Then there's that.
Well, you feel like playing something for us?
Well, I don't know. What do you want me to play?
Anything you want. Okay. We can get you plugged in right there.
Like I say, the song on that record, I might play a little bit of this song, and then you can play the piece of the record. Okay. This is a song I wrote for this on that first Hardin County Line record.
Yep.
Called Looks Aren't Everything.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll play you a little of it. Then if you want to play a little bit of the record, you can see how it kind of...
Oh, we'd rather just hear you play.
Sound like Haggard, you know. I tried to sound like Haggard on it. So, looks like she's found another lover. Judging by the way she looks too. He's got her wrapped around his finger. She's falling right into his eyes. But looks aren't everything. Take it from a man who knows looks aren't everything. What's in her heart? Show, I know how she looks, but looks aren't everything.
Nice. All right.
Well, I haven't actually sung this song in a long time, but I'm going to sing it. I'm going to practice it up. We're going to be playing a lot of songs off this record this Friday night.
Yeah, you got a show at the City Winery coming up.
Yeah, we're going to be at the winery playing most of the songs off of this Best Of record. And then a lot of the new stuff, too, we're working on. But
now, so, is that coming up this coming Friday?
Is that this Friday?
Is it this Friday?
Is it this Friday? Okay.
It is this Friday, isn't
wow.
it?
Wow.
What's today?
It's the 17th, okay, yeah, because you're the 22nd.
22nd.
Oh, yes, the 22nd.
And so do people go to City Winery for tickets, or probably the best way to do it, right?
You know what? I show up through the back door and I leave through the back door. But, I don't know.
So there you have it, everybody. Get in through the back door.
I guess you could go
to the winery website and figure
CityWinery.com. Well, actually, we've got a pair of tickets that we're going to be giving away tonight to your show to one of our lucky listeners who participates on Facebook or Twitter. So.
Telling her, but I'll get these songs worked up, some of the stuff on the record, a little bit better before then. You know.
Sure.
But
now, is this a full band show? Is it an acoustic
group,
show?
No, it's a full group. And
great.
The E Street, the EN3, or the East Nashville Three. That's my band.
Right.
Steve Letternation and Jesse Isaacs and Mark Robertson.
Sweet. Were any of those same guys playing on your Brushy Mountain project?
Yes. Well, those guys were touring with me and writing with me during the whole Brushy Mountain.
Yeah. That's era. A great live album, by the way. I drove around with that in my car
still,
for a long time.
It's still in my car. Yeah. I love it.
We're going to be doing songs off of that. And we will have some information about the film that we made during that time. And we've completed the documentary with that. That's going to be where everybody can see it here pretty soon.
Great.
Sometime before the summer's out.
Excellent.
I'd love to see that.
But, yeah, that was the important work that I got involved in with. And Merle had a lot to do with me going into the prisons and singing because Johnny Cash was, I was blessed to know him and June, and I knew a lot about some of the things he did and why he did them. And I know that when he went in, Merle was at San Quentin when he went there.
Mm-hmm.
And Merle said, obviously, he changed his rage from rage to music. And I felt like, and without Merle Haggard, we wouldn't have had about half the format that we have had over the last years since he started making records, and he influenced so many people. And so I wanted to try to do something with my music to try to see if I couldn't help them find some redemption through songs and guitars. So I spent time in the prisons at Brushy Mountain. And
for many years, actually.
Yeah, well, and there's a great story behind it, but the most beautiful thing of it is I feel like the music made a difference in maybe one or two lives, and that to me makes a lot more difference than another hit record or writing another song, about a girlfriend, about an old girlfriend. So I spent time doing that, and was Merle Haggard important to me? Yeah, very important to me, and as much as Johnny Cash was,
Sweet. Mm. Well, listen.
I'll play you a Merle Haggard song.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I sang this with him one afternoon all day long, me and Steve Warner and the Strangers. So since I did this with Merle, I'll see if I can remember it now. See. I was born to run in kind, leaving always on my mind. Home was never home to me at any time. Every front door found me hoping I'd find the back door open. There had to be an exit for the running kind. Within me there's a prison surrounding me alone, as real as any dungeon with its walls of stone. I know running's not the answer, but running's been my nature, and the part of me that keeps me moving on. I was born to run in kind, leaving always on my mind. Home was never home to me at any time. Every front door found me hoping I'd find a back door open. Yeah, there had to be an exit for the running kind.
All right.
Hey, that's Merle Haggard, and it's as good today as it was the day he wrote it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're coming back with a whole lot more of Mark Colley here on the Music Row Show, so come on back.
Looks like she's found another love. Judging by the way she looks tonight, he's got her wrapped around his finger. right. But looks aren't everything.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with hit songwriter, recording artist, and now actor, Mark Cawley. That's a great tune of his called Looks Aren't Everything that he just did for us a little bit here a little while ago. And that's off his brand new greatest hits package called Icon. Mark Cawley, you can get that everywhere music is sold.
Very, very cool. Hey, you know something we didn't get to talk about last time you were here? I Still Miss Someone, an award-winning short film. I loved that film.
Thank you.
Yeah. What were the challenges of playing someone that you obviously admire, you knew, spent a lot of time with in your career?
It was really overwhelming and intimidating and frightening and all those things. When I was with John and June were together, and he personally asked me to, you know, if I would play him in a film, and that was in like 1991 or 1992, I forget. I got it in a, written down somewhere, but I believe it was New York City in 1991 or 1992, and I think it was 1991. And I didn't know what to say. I said, well, you know, and June said, just say yes. And then that was how long they were talking about trying to get this film made. And through the next few years and months and days and a lot of conversations and talk, that's when I began to learn a lot about him, and I did my homework, and I tried to know as much as I could, a lot of things that I knew, and I got to hear stories and stuff. And
firsthand.
And then basically that was a screen test. That short film was my screen test. And we were having trouble with my schedule and everything, trying to get the screen test done. And couldn't seem to get anything on tape for the film company or the director. And I called my friend John Lloyd Miller, who's an award-winning, video, all the Garth videos, the dance and everything. He's CMA award winner. So
right.
John was doing my videos on all these songs that are on this this best of CD. And called him. I said, don't we have a lot of extra film left around somewhere? And he said, I've got some in my refrigerator. So I took some stories and sort of combined a few stories that I'd been told and heard, and I shared that with John, and we fleshed out a little script, and we shot for a day, and we edited for a day, and then we sort of made it into a little short film so we could give all the volunteers credit, some of the guys, people that worked on television and film, kids, a lot of them, credit for working on this little project, and it was my screen test. And then a few people saw it, and it began to get, it was released at the Tennessee Film Festival. It was very well received. And then obviously it went on to do a lot more than that. But
so that was just one day of shooting and one day of editing, because it's beautiful.
Well, we might have shot a day and a half, but I think it was a day.
I think that extra half a day made all the difference.
Well, I think it was, but we got it done, the whole thing done in 3 days.
So that's amazing.
I could have something to show John, and I was afraid to show it to him, so I sent it to Chris Stofferson first.
Really?
Yeah, because when I looked at it, I realized that I didn't really think about it. A lot of it was improvisational behavior and stuff, and it was dark, but it had a light in his life. But
right.
I was afraid for him to see it before I showed it to somebody. So I sent it to – I tried to get a hold of Waylon. I couldn't. And then I sent it to Chris, and I called him. He said, you got to show it to him, kid. He's going to see it. He said, you nailed him,
That's
and
great.
Then John saw it, and he called me. And he said, you nailed me. He said, but you really did good, but you got to work on your twitch, And so
all right.
I figured I didn't get it exactly right, but I was on my way to getting it right. And I have had a few opportunities, and there's one now that, we hope will come to fruition where I'll play. There'll be more films made of John, and I'm always honored when they call and want me to be a part of it. So we'll see about that.
That's great.
Right now I'm trying to get back to making records and playing Frankie Gray on Nashville and doing that stuff.
You're busy. You're busy.
And we haven't played here in town in a while, so I'm looking forward to this coming Friday when we can sort of try out some new material, and also a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, like a lot of the Brushy Mountain stuff, people haven't heard me do. So I'm gonna have to get out. We're gonna have to get the band together. You'll probably have to do a little woodshed for at least an hour or two.
Right. Absolutely.
I never was a good practice player. You know, I do all right in the game. You know, but
once the adrenaline gets going,
I'm gonna have to relearn some of these old songs, but. And I've got some new ones I want to share too. So
it's very cool. And again, that's
and enjoying it. You know,
that's this Friday, April 22nd here at the City Winery. We have to take one last break. We're going to be back with more of Mark Colley. You're listening to the Music Row Show. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Shame, 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 shame. You're stirring up that old flame. I know you'll steal my heart again. No way that I can win. Shame, 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 shame.
Ah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Mark Colley, and that is Shame, 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 Shame. Off his greatest hits album called Icon, it just came out.
iTunes, Amazon, Walmart.
All those great places.
Go get it.
So we were just talking during the break. You played the Opry a couple nights ago, or last night. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that gets old, you know, playing that place all the time.
Would you stop?
No. What's your favorite Opry memory of playing over the years?
Well, I mean, you know, the first night, you know, that I was invited to play, it was very, you know, emotional, you know, just wonderful thing. And every time I'm asked to come out, I love it, you know.
Yeah.
I grew up, you know, having an opportunity to come early as a kid, you know, and at the Ryman and be back there and watch some of those legendary stars who've gone on. You know, I got to see Marty Robbins there, you know.
Man.
And people like that. So I never take it for granted. I mean, I always look forward to it, you know. It's an important part of what I get to do, you know, and I'm thankful for it, you know.
That's nice. Amazing. Well, we got some folks here watching you in the windows. Would you like to play us one more song?
I don't know. What you want me to play?
Well, how about something new that you've written, if you feel like giving us one of those?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. I could play a I wasn't planning on playing this. I'll see if I could play. This is a song I wrote with Even Stevens and Hillary Cantor that Tim recorded. And I wasn't planning on singing it. But it's sort of a philosophy that I have been blessed to have through some people in my life and family. I thought about this song when I heard about Myrtle passing on. Mama went to sleep one night and never woke up. Daddy cried a tear into her old coffee cup. Now all he wants to do is drink the hurt all away. But if Mama was here, I know what Mama would say. Carry on. Carry on. What don't kill us makes us strong. Carry on. Sister's husband ran away with her best friend, left her and the babies all alone again. It hurts to see the hurt that she's going through. If Mama was here, I know what Mama would do. Carry on. Carry on. What don't kill us makes us strong. Carry on. Carry on. Carry on. Mm-hmm. What don't kill us makes us strong. Carry on. carry on. Thank you.
Well, you know, we should mention, we've been talking about
Tim recorded that on one of them records.
McGraw. Way to go, sweet. Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim McGraw, yeah.
You, in addition to this Greatest Hits album, all your early material just got released to digital as well, which is kind of first.
All the Universal MCA stuff is on digital now. Sweet. So a lot of the songs that are not on this collection, on this Best Of collection, mm-hmm. will be there too. And I love it because a lot of those songs, you know, I mean, some of these songs may have never been on a CD before, you know. My first singles were on wax, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, or cassettes.
Cassettes.
You know?
I remember the cassettes.
Yeah.
No, wait, try. I have a cassette of yours. I'm going, really? And you have something you play it on?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny. But it's a good day today, and I'm having a good time right now doing Nashville and playing shows again, you know.
And with Frankie on Nashville, I'm just wondering, I know how there's a lot of hurry up and wait on these TV show type of filming. Is there any musical collaborations going on with, there's so many different artists there. Is there a time where you guys are sitting in trailers? And
Charles Esten and I, the way I wound up getting called to come do this was Charles, Chip and I were writing, we ride together often, and we were writing a song, and he said, you know, they're looking for a guy on the show. He said, I think they may have already cast it. He said, but I think he'd be perfect for this character. He said, you mind if I mention your name? I said, well, go ahead, you know. And as the Lord would have it, I got a phone call from L.A., and they had me come. They sent me some, you know, a couple of lines. I read them. And initially we thought it'd probably be for 3 or 4 episodes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon they kind of like Frankie, so they've kept him around, you know, which is good. Because it's like I have a day job now, you know.
Yeah. After all these years.
That's what everybody always said when you come to Nashville. Well, you better get a day job, you know.
So you finally did.
So I finally got a day job.
All right.
You
had a song on one of the cast albums, a great song written by one of our favorite writers, Travis Meadows.
Oh, I love Travis.
Yeah. Well, so what's it like singing in character as opposed to as yourself? How do you approach that?
I tell everybody it's the easiest money I ever made. I stand around and act like me all day. But it's like, at first I thought, man, this is really too easy, you know. I mean, I've been acting like a hillbilly country singer my whole life.
You
know?
So you got the part down.
Yeah, I've got that down. But, no, it was great. Whenever I approach singing a song, I just sing it like me, you know.
Okay.
But the song was really a great song, and it is a great song, and I was glad they put it on the Nashville soundtrack. And I got to sing a little of it on the show, but it was and I knew that when I heard it, I thought, you know, I hope I can sing this as well as Travis because
he's got a heck of a delivery.
Yeah, he did a great job singing on it, and I thought, man, I'll go in here and take a shot at it, you know. But when it was on the show, the evening it was on the show, he sent me a text, and I felt better about that. You know, you always want the writer to. I mean, I've probably only recorded four or five songs that I didn't write in my whole.
No
career.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I might record one or two an album, maybe sometimes not at all, but maybe I bet I haven't recorded half a dozen.
I'll be darned.
But maybe I should start doing more of that. You know? Willie didn't hurt Willie.
No, he did all right.
He did
all right.
I'm glad he cut Blue Eyes Crying Rain. You know?
Yeah.
That is true.
Have you written with Travis then?
No, we've threatened to. You know?
Boy, I want to hear that song.
I've been threatening to write. Me and Victoria have been trying to get write a song for, 15 years, you know.
Well, they say it's maybe a 16-year town, so any day now.
It just keeps going up.
I mean, we've been you know, booking and canceling appointments for the last year or two anyway. Just pretty regular, but.
Well, so there's a song in that,
yeah, I was glad to see her tonight. She's super talented, and enjoyed seeing her tonight. That was
Well, this has been great. Again, markcolley.com. If you want to get tickets for this Friday, go to City Winery Nashville, I believe is where you go. Just Google City Winery Nashville. And that's Friday. What time does that show start?
I think 7 o'clock there's a group playing just before us. I go on at 8.
Okay.
Great.
Excellent.
And Do y'all have the information for the trio?
Yeah, is it Mike Aiken?
Mike Aiken Trio.
Mike Aiken's going to be opening up for you.
Mike Aiken Trio, they're going to be opening at 7-ish.
Sweet.
Ish.
And check out Mike Aiken. He does some great stuff.
Mike's a talent. And I'm going to be on around 8-ish.
Ish.
So come on down and see us.
Check that out. Check out MarkHawley.com. Go get his album, Icon. And we'll see you next week on The Music Row Show.